This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I am so thankful you are here listening to this show right now. And I have Dave Wilkinson on the air with me. He's been the executive director of the Community Pregnancy Clinic of Simi Valley since 2007. Prior to his position at the CPC, Dave served as the founding and senior pastor of the Bridge Community Church in Simi Valley and also served for 10 years as the counseling and recovery pastor at Sunrise Christian Fellowship in Simi Valley. Dave has been married to Wendy for 35 years and has three adult children and two grandchildren. They have lived in Simi Valley since 1995. Dave can be reached at dave@cpcsimi.org. Or community pregnancy clinic. And if you don't, you don't really need to remember all that. If you can't remember all that, it's okay, because you can go to SueFreeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and get the information from this show and 3 years of podcasts. So don't worry, it's okay. You can get the information just by remembering SueFreeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com. So Dave, welcome to the show today.
Thanks for having me here today, Sue.
I love having you on the air. It's great. You have that radio voice I love to hear. It's great. The minute you go on the mic, it's like, oh my gosh, such a wonderful voice. So the listeners are tuning in, but they don't know what we're going to talk about today. So what are we going to talk about today?
Well, you know, I've been on the show a couple times before, and we talked about the CPC, the ministry of the pregnancy clinic, and all of that kind of good stuff. But today we thought we would do something a little bit different and talk about ministry burnout. Because sometimes it's called compassion fatigue. Sometimes it's called discouragement. Sometimes it's called stress. But you know, I've been involved in ministry for close to 30 years, and we always, we have these times, these seasons where we just want to throw in the towel. You know, whether it's as a pastor or working as a director of a parachurch organization, we get tired. And I think sometimes there's the idea that if I'm in God's will, then I should never get tired. It should always be energizing and fun, and I should wake up in the morning loving what I do, and that's not always the case. And even though sometimes we're doing the wrong thing, and we need to change. Other times we're doing the right thing, but we just don't have balance in our lives. And so I think we should talk about some of the causes as well as some of the cure for ministry burnout or discouragement, whether it's as a volunteer or whether you're on staff, doesn't matter.
Really, you know, even in marriage, sometimes marriage, you can have burnout too, because marriage is supposed to be a ministry, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You're in ministry together, right?
Absolutely.
And so, you know, you can get burned out no matter where you are in life. And so it's really important that we take measures and take into account what we're doing and why we're doing it, obviously. And then, you know, even Jesus went and had to rest for a while.
Absolutely.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so this show today is going to be about this and precautions or things that you can do that, to maybe minimize that burnout, huh?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? I know I've reached that numerous times, and you know, sometimes it's just hard to just take some time off or even to just take a nap. Listeners, I mean, do you take a nap? I mean, do you ever have a chance to take a nap? Because I tell you what, in kindergarten, when you got to take those naps, sometimes we didn't want to take them, but after we did, didn't we feel better?
Mm-hmm.
We truly did, didn't we? And now to take one, it's like really fun just to be able to take a nap.
Sometimes it's the most spiritual thing you can do is to take a nap. Because sometimes we can fall into this idea that it's somehow more spiritual if I'm working myself to death, if I'm a workaholic, if I'm working 80 hours a week, and how somehow that's God that's going to be more pleased than if I serve him in a more balanced, kind of taking my pace kind of a way. And so yeah, it's something that I think it hits many of us, because we do tend to maybe try to do too much.
Right. We want to serve and we want to do it for God. And sometimes we can get so tired, and then our yeses really should be no's sometimes. We don't need to always say, this is, I'm talking to myself right now, because I tend to say yes way more than I say no. And I'm learning how to say no once in a while.
That's good. We have to strengthen our no muscle.
We do. We do have to strengthen that no muscle. So how long have you been in ministry, and what have you learned about stress and burnout personally?
Well, as I mentioned, it's been over 30 years. And there have been times when I wanted to quit. There have been times when I just felt like I can't do this anymore. It's too hard. And I think there are a lot of reasons for that. You know, sometimes it is a lack of balance. Sometimes it is because it's a very spiritual work that we're doing. But then I found that my coming into this position as the executive director of the CPC, I find it to be very energizing and very fulfilling. And I think the main reason for that is this is something that God has called me to do. He's also equipped me to do it. And I have passion for it. And so on the one hand, we have to look at what's our gifting, what's our passion, what have our life experiences have been, and if that can lead us into ministry. I think of ministry as that intersection of passion and opportunity. When we do that, that's kind of the sweet spot. Mm-hmm. But even then, we can still get tired. Mm-hmm. If we don't have right balance in our life, if we don't have the right kind of support system, if we don't have people telling us we need to say no, we can do too much. And so sometimes people get tired or they burn out because they're in the wrong ministry. They're not working in their gifting. Mm-hmm. And then other times we can get burned out because we're working in our ministry, in our gifting, but we just don't have balance. And mm-hmm. so we need to work that out.
I think about this as an employer to employees, and sometimes, you know, I'll hire people and if somebody's not working in their gifts, they don't do it as well. So if you don't know what your gifting is, which I did this for a while at the church, is I would help people find and discover what their spiritual gifts were and what, you know, God gives us these gifts for a reason. We're supposed to be serving Him and fulfilling a purpose that He created us for. So mm-hmm. you have these built-in created gifts that you have been given, you personally have been given. And what we need to do is figure out what those gifts are, and it's usually what you're good at. If mm-hmm. you think about what you're good at right now, those are probably some giftings that you have been given by God. And so if you work in those giftings, then what you're going to find is you're going to feel better about it because you're going to be better at it, and it's just going to work out better.
It's going to be more fun for you.
It's going to be definitely more fun for mm-hmm. you. So what are some signs or symptoms of stress and burnout?
Well, you know, I think there are many signs. If you think of it physically, there's tiredness, your blood pressure goes up, your heart rate goes up. There's the emotional side, where if you're feeling kind of stressed out, you're just more irritable. There's a lack of tolerance toward other people. And I think very often the big one is a sense of hopelessness that this is not going to change. It's not going to get any better. It's going to be like this for the rest of my life unless I quit. And then there's the spiritual side where God just feels distant. You know, you can read that in the Psalms where King David felt that he said, God, where are you? I don't know what, you know, pull me out of this mire. And so that sense of hopelessness can be spiritual as well. But I think one of the main things to look at is the idea of change. How have you changed? How are you dealing with change in your life, whether it's in you or whether it's your circumstances around you? Because if you're not dealing with change because you've changed, then that's a big clue that something's going on, that you're getting discouraged, that you need to address some of those issues that are really weighing you down.
So there's these little gauges that are going on, and we need to pay attention to those gauges. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and I'm talking with David Wilkinson, and we're talking about not just ministry burnout, but just burnout, period, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. You know, there's a book that I reference quite often. It's called Jesus Calling. And for today, I'm just reading what today says. And it says, bring me your mind for rest and renewal. Let me infuse my presence into your thoughts. As your mind stops racing, your body relaxes, and you regain awareness of me. This awareness is vital to your spiritual well-being. It is your lifeline, spiritually speaking. There are actually more than four dimensions in this world where you live. In addition to the three dimensions of space and the one of time, there is a dimension of openness to my presence. This dimension transcends the others, giving you glimpses of heaven while you still reside on earth. This was part of my original design for mankind. Adam and Eve used to walk with me in the garden before their expulsion from Eden. I want you to walk with me in the garden of your heart, where I have taken up permanent residence. And isn't that going right alongside with what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. So what are some common causes, we talked about a little bit, of burnout and weariness in ministry?
Well, I think there are several, and we can hit on a few here today. You know, it says in Psalm 139:16, it says, all the days were ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And so what that says to me is that God has a destiny and a purpose for each and every individual. and we need to discover what that is. To use the language of Rick Warren in The Purpose-Driven Life, mm-hmm. he says, you know, what on earth am I here for? Mm-hmm. You know, so we need to discover that because God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And so that's, we call that your why. You know, mm-hmm. why are you here? Why do you exist? What's your purpose on earth? And we need to discover what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in theological terms, our purpose is to glorify God
mm-hmm.
And to serve him. But I think within that, when it comes to ministry and how we can help others using those gifts and talents that God has given us, we need to discover that. When we forget that, that's when we get discouraged because it's like, okay, why am I doing this again? Yeah, at the pregnancy clinic, I'm always reminding our staff, you know, this is God's ministry. It's not our ministry. It's not my name on the door. And it's also about the client. It's about the person that walks through our door that we're here to serve. We're not here just filling our hours. We're here to serve that client. And we need to always remember that because that's what energizes us, because I can help this person. I can help this person who's in a crisis pregnancy. I can help them choose life, and that energizes me.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm just showing up to clock in, then I lose my purpose, and that leads to burnout.
You know, just listening to this right now is in work, in business, they say that you need to have a value statement, you need to have a mission statement.
Mm-hmm.
And the mission statement is, why is this company even in existence? What is it we are doing and why are we doing it? The mission statement is so vitally important because when you get off base or you get off track, you have to refer back to, you know, rule number one or mission statement. You know, mm-hmm. what are we trying to accomplish here and what's going to keep us on our goal? I was reading a magazine and it was, and on the top of it, it said family mission statement. So we can even write out a mission statement for our family.
Absolutely.
So that when we get off track, then we can get back on track by reading, what is it we're here for? Why are we here? Mm-hmm. And so, listener, I'm going to ask you, why are you here? Do you know the answer? And if you don't, how does someone figure out why they're here? David, I mean, what would you say? Because I can remember this. When I was like 12, 11 or 12, I was going through a trying time, and I remember calling out to God in my bedroom. And I said, God, why am I here? Why am I here? It's got to be more than vacuuming and cleaning and taking care of my little sister, even though I love my little sister. Why am I here? And I remember that so distinctly of asking God, why am I here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if everybody does that,
mm-hmm.
but we
but
do need
really
to know.
But that's a really good prayer.
Yeah, why am I here? Mm-hmm. Why'd you create me? What do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, and I think there's a couple answers to that. Number one is prayer, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is searching the scriptures,
yes.
As far as what is the role for every person,
right.
You know, to glorify God, to live a holy life, all of those kinds of things.
Uh-huh.
Number three, like you had mentioned earlier, is we have to try different stuff. We have to experiment. We have to volunteer in different aspects of the church or another kind of ministry to say, you know, what am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? Is it being with kids? Is it with music? Is it teaching? Whatever. We need to look at all those kind of things. And some of those gift inventories, strength finders, things like that are all very helpful.
Right.
The other thing you can ask that you can do is you can ask other people, what do you think I'm good at? Where have you seen me excel? Where have you seen me full of joy and life? You know, what do you think makes me come alive?
Very good questions.
And maybe a spouse is the best one to answer that. Maybe it's a kid. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe it's a best friend. And so we can ask those questions, and we start. But you're moving. You're
right.
Moving forward.
Right. That's very good. I'm excited already.
Okay.
I'm excited because people out, you know, listening. It's like, you know, if we're just going this rut of getting up, doing the same thing day in, day out, going to work, coming home, making dinner, feeding the dog, you know, walking the dog, whatever it is. You know, we're doing the same thing every day. And it's like, do we have purpose? You know, are we serving our God? And do we have purpose on this earth? And, you know, without that significance, what else really matters? We have mm-hmm. to be making a difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think everybody has that inside of them that they want to have an imprint or something that says, you know, they accomplished this or, you know, what did I do while I was here on this earth? Did I just breathe? Did I just take up space? Or did I actually make a difference?
Right. And that's about leaving a legacy.
Yes. You know,
is the world a better place because I was here?
Exactly.
Or is it better because I left?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
And so I think that is a very important question. And the Bible talks about how eternity in our hearts, I think that's what that is referring mm-hmm. to, is my life going to make a difference? Can I help? Can I do something of significance?
Mm-hmm.
And if it's just showing up to work, if it's just clocking in, that's not enough.
It's really not. It's not fulfilling. In the long term, it's not fulfilling. And having a big bank account isn't really fulfilling either. It's what you're doing to make lives change. It's doing what you're, you know, something that's going to make this life and this world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And eternity,
yeah.
you know, people that are understanding about life after this world, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it's fulfilling that destiny that God has placed within each one of us.
Yeah, it's exciting. Mm-hmm. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and I'm talking with David Wilkinson. I'm hoping all of you are taking notes and you're all asking yourself that question. Why am I here? And I hope you have an answer to that. And if you don't, I hope you're going to ask the Lord and read scriptures and do just what David had suggested, is how to find out why you're here, you know, because there is a purpose for your life. Mm-hmm. I told my kids that growing up, you know, God created you for a specific purpose, and I cannot wait until I know what that is, because it's exciting. It's like a gift, right? Mm-hmm. And you want to unwrap the gift, but I'm a little bit impatient, you know. I always want to figure out what's in that gift too soon. So what are some practical steps for overcoming weariness and burnout? What would you suggest?
Well, let me hit on a couple other causes really quickly.
Oh, please do.
One of them is people-pleasing, codependency, being overly responsible.
Oh.
If I feel responsible for the whole world and other people and making them happy, that's exhausting. And so what we have to remember is, what is it that I'm responsible for and what is it that I'm not responsible for? And so that obviously applies within our job context, also within a ministry context, also in our family. But when we try to do too much, it's also called the Messiah complex, then we're going to be exhausted, because that isn't the job that God designed for us to do. Sometimes we do too much thinking that that's going to make God happy because we're just so busy, but it's really not. We need to simplify and do the things that God wants us to do and not think that we can do everything. I remember Brian Duncan saying a long time, you know, the Christian musician.
Yeah.
He said, you know, the biggest difference between me and God is that God doesn't think he's me. And I love that, because
we
sometimes fall into that Messiah complex, thinking that we're God, that we have to take care of everybody else, that we have to be responsible for everyone else's happiness, and we really don't. We're responsible for ourselves, responsible to other people, you know, to be integrous and all that. But it doesn't mean I'm responsible for your happiness, because if I'm responsible for that, I have no control over that.
Right.
And so it's just going to wear me out.
You know, that's very freeing to hear, you know, because people, I know I went through this early on in my marriage, Codependent No More. I had to read that book because I thought submission was one thing when really it wasn't. Submission does not mean doormat. And so, you know, understanding your responsibilities as a human being, and that each person has a responsibility to where they are and how they think and their belief system and their perspective. And we can give our advice, or we can give our perspective, but that doesn't mean they're going to accept it or want it, because everybody has their own belief systems, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
So it is freeing to realize that, you know, you can't make but, you know, people can make other people miserable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that can happen, right?
Right.
But,
and
you
so
know,
we do need healthy boundaries.
We need healthy boundaries. And mm-hmm. healthy boundaries are really important. And if you haven't been in an environment or a family where there was healthy boundaries, then you might need some help of figuring out where that line is supposed to be,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's actually one of the steps for overcoming weariness and burnout, is to have healthy boundaries.
Which is being able to say no sometimes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. It says in Proverbs 4:23 that above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's life in that. And so we have to protect, guard, and that means setting boundaries, mm-hmm. so that good things come in and bad things stay out.
Right.
And so we set those boundaries in order to be able to be free to make those healthy choices.
And that goes along with, if you are around somebody that, let's say, is verbally abusive, and when you're with this situation, you can either accept what's being said to you, or you can say, I don't receive that, because that isn't what Christ says about me. So that's a healthy tool if you're in an environment like that, because I know there's listeners that have experienced this. And so I'm saying to you that you have the healthy boundary to say, I'm not receiving that. I'm rebuking that in Jesus' name, and not receive it, because it's not truth. Because mm-hmm. the truth will set you free. And what is the truth? God tells you what the truth is. And we want to look at ourselves through God's eyes, not a person that might be looking at us with some other set of eyes,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's
yeah.
a healthy boundary too, right?
Yeah.
To just say, nope, I'm not going to take that. That's not coming on me. That's not mine.
Right.
It's not mine to take.
Right. And I think what often happens is we can be accused of being selfish or prideful or self-centered if we have healthy boundaries, or if we take care of ourselves, if we mm-hmm. say no to things, and say, oh, you're just being selfish.
Mm.
But just as healthy self-care is not the same thing as pride, it's actually going to be very humble and taking care of yourself, because what that does, a prideful person, a selfish person is just interested in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take care of yourself so that you're healthy, then you have more to give to other people, and you're actually a better servant because you are taking care of yourself. And so just as healthy self-care helps us to prevent burnout, a lack of self-care will really cause us to burn out. because we're trying to do too much. We're not saying no. We're not having healthy boundaries, and it's not good for us.
Right.
And so we want to take good care of ourselves, which is not the same thing as being selfish. Mm-hmm. But we actually can take care of ourselves and die to self at the same time. Actually, mm-hmm. Because the Bible says we should die to ourselves, we should deny ourselves, but that doesn't mean we don't take care of ourselves.
Right.
That makes sense?
So a healthy nap is a healthy nap.
That's right.
Right.
Because you're filling your own tank so that you have more to give.
And vacations are necessary.
Absolutely.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's people that say, oh my gosh, I can't take a vacation. I've got to work. I know owning the company, E-Cola and everything, I was feeling guilty if I took time off. I was feeling guilty. And my bookkeeper said to me, God bless her soul, she says, Sue, it's okay. You can take a vacation. It's mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. You need rest. Just mm-hmm. like everybody else takes, mm-hmm. you need to take a vacation. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh gosh, thanks. But I always feel like I have to excuse myself or something. It's funny. But right. I don't need to do that because I need to rest. And when I come back from being off for a couple of days or something, I am more ready to handle whatever's coming my way mm-hmm. than if I would have just stayed in there.
Right. You end up being more productive because you took that time off.
Right. So everybody needs vacation.
Yeah.
Time.
So I think of it as the four R's.
Okay.
We need rest, we need reflection, we need renewal, and we need recreation. So to rest is the physical rest, the taking a nap part. The reflection is we need time to get away and to think about what is my purpose? How am I fulfilling that personal vision that I believe God has given to me? And so maybe that's a vacation. Maybe that's an annual personal retreat at a monastery somewhere where you can have a silent retreat for a weekend, which would be funny for you to do that. or maybe it's a quarterly. I love to take a half a day and go to the beach and sit on the beach and just think about what is God doing in my life? What's the direction for the future? Not only for me personally, for my family, for my ministry, what is God doing? And so you need that time to get away. Just like we started at the very beginning saying, Jesus took that time away. He got away from the crowd, got alone in a boat, got alone on the side of a hill, and just was able to be with the Father. Mm-hmm. So I think we need that time of reflection. And then also renewal. We need to be renewed physically, emotionally, spiritually. Again, a vacation is part of that. And then lastly is recreation. We need to have fun. Because sometimes we can use fun or vacation or time off as a distraction from what we really need to be doing, but I'm not talking about that. Sometimes we need that time away to be renewed, to be refreshed, so that we can come back stronger. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what that does.
I think you're right. And I know that even when I have left and come back, that I know that some biggest decisions I made were when I was away.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes the forest from the trees, you don't mm-hmm. see the issue or the answer could be right in front of you, but you don't see it because it's just way too close. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA, and we'll be talking with David Wilkinson on stress. Looking for God's love in the midst of death? The book Resurrection Monday is the true story of a death-to-life experience. It's the real-life story of Nancy and Chris Conant and how they triumphed over death. It begins with Nancy's diagnosis of multiple sclerosis. At the same time Nancy sees her health deteriorating, Chris receives a dream followed by unexplained events that help prepare him for the ultimate battle over his wife's life. Nancy eventually decides her life crash is too much to bear, so she deliberately ends her life. However, the doctors are stunned after God sends her back, alive, with purpose, and a prolific gift in art that could only be found in Christ. Resurrection Monday is the book you won't put down. It gives hope to those suffering from disease, broken relationships, and abuse. It offers inspiration through the transforming power of God's love, that not even death can hold back the plans He has for us. Get your copy of Resurrection Monday on sale now at Amazon.com. That's Amazon.com.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of E.Cola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, E.Cola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new E.Cola Heat using clean hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. E.Cola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call E.Cola. at 877-332-BUGS, 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their two-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
Thank you so much, Ecola, for sponsoring this show so that we can learn about stress and burnout from David Wilkinson. Right?
It's been fun.
Right. Yeah, it's been fun. And it's almost, you know, it's halfway done. And I'm so bummed because I'm really liking this show. I'm learning from this show. I like this. Anyway, so, you know, personally, I can just say that I thought do more, be more. And it was worth doing, right? And mm-hmm. not always is that the case because, you know, it's not by works that we are saved, but by grace.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that, mm-hmm. you know, so I can't do more to be better. You know, I have to just rest that he's going to love me. Even if I didn't do another thing, he was going to love me.
Right.
That's pretty freeing, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, we used to have a saying, I remember back in the Sunrise days when we first met, that God loves you and there's nothing you can do about it.
So, I love that.
So there's nothing you can do to get God to love you more.
Right.
And there's no sin that you could commit that could get God to love you less. So that doesn't mean go out and sin like crazy, but it means our acceptance before God is assured, that his love never changes, and we don't have to work hard to get God to love us, and we don't have to worry that, well, if I sleep in and miss church this weekend, is God gonna, you know, strike me down? No, it's not that. He wants that relationship with us, and uh-huh. and that's the good and the bad, and I think that is very freeing.
It is very freeing, and I think about my love for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what they do, I'm always going to love them. No matter what they do, I will love them.
Right.
And it's the same type of parental love, isn't it?
Right. You may not always like them, but
sometimes
you will
they're
always.
Frustrating, but
yeah.
you know, you still love them, right? And you want what's best for them always. Okay, so you said you wanted to say a little bit more about
Well, I think that's probably
about.
Is a good place to play the song.
Okay, right there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try so hard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So right now, what we're going to do is I was listening to a song. I love Amy Grant and James Taylor from my childhood. Just, I love him too. I mean, he's great. So anyway, there's a new song. Amy Grant has been on, well, she just hasn't recorded in over 10 years. And all of a sudden, she came out with a new album and she's been introduced on some stations. And I've listened to some of her interviews. And this song just really hit home for me because the song is called Don't Try So Hard. And I can relate. And you probably can too. You know, you can try so hard, but we don't have to try hard. You know, work smarter, not harder, they say. But we don't have to try hard. We just have to understand that God's going to love us no matter what. So I want to share this song with you because it really sticks in my head and it penetrates to the heart. So please just enjoy.
Someone wired to please. I keep taking my aim, pushing it higher. Wanna shine bright, even brighter now. Wish I could tell myself, don't try so hard. God gives you grace and you can't earn it. Don't think so hard. Do you remember how the summers felt when we were kids? Oh, we didn't think much about it, we just lived. Taking our time, beautiful leisure. When do we start trying to measure up? Because
listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I'm talking with David Wilkinson, and we're talking about not just ministry burnout, but just burnout, period, right? Right.
So here are a couple of other practical steps that if you're feeling right now, I feel like giving up, I feel like throwing in the towel, I'm just weary, I'm burned out, I'm tired, what can you do? Well, I think number one is you have to pay attention to that. You have to be aware. So note what you're typically doing when you tend to get stressed out. Do you eat more? Do you sleep too much? Do you just lose interest in things that used to interest you before? Do you lash out in anger? Do you crawl into your cave and not talk to anybody? You know, notice some of those things to let you know, I'm kind of at that edge of really being stressed out, because then you need to take some action. And I know it's hard to tell someone that's feeling stressed out or depressed or discouraged, now you need to do something about it. But you do need to be proactive in getting healthy, because you are responsible for your own stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And so be proactive, because you need to determine to do something different, because otherwise there won't be any changes. It's like that old definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. Mm-hmm. So you need to do something different. And right. So that might mean talking to someone. That might mean admitting that you're in a really bad place. And so you need to do that. And then the third thing is remember your why. You know, why are you in this? Why has God called you to this particular ministry or volunteer position or whatever? Remember your mission, your passion, your calling. And then the fourth thing, I think, is we need to keep our eye on the prize. Hebrews 12:2 says, "We have been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." Mm-hmm. So there's several things in there. We mm-hmm. have to lay aside things that hinder us, things that hold us back. It may not be sin. It's like just extra baggage that we're carrying around that we don't need to. We mm-hmm. need to lay that aside. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be distractions. It could be too much TV. You know, mm-hmm. we have to look at those things that get in the way, that hinder us. And then the sin that entangles us, and that often is unforgiveness, that we need to look at. And then fix our eyes on Jesus and remember that he's the author and the perfecter of our faith. We don't do it ourselves. God is the one at work in us. And then it says, and consider him. Remember what Jesus did on the cross for us. Remember him so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I think that helps us keep us going when we fix our eyes on Jesus. He's much more than just a good example to us. He actually is the one who leads us. He empowers us. He strengthens us. He perfects our faith. And so I think we keep that in mind. Then we also need to maintain the healthy boundaries, which we talked about. And we need to have balance in our lives, because, you know, I think about balance, the balance beam, you know, it's an Olympic sport, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think if balance were easy, it wouldn't be an Olympic sport. And so it's an ongoing thing that we have to remember, that we're maintaining our balance. You know, am I sleeping enough? Am I getting enough rest? Am I taking that time away to have vacation so I'm not being a workaholic? So we need to keep all that stuff in perspective. And so maintain that balance.
Very good. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. We're talking to David Wilkinson, and we're talking about stress and burnout. I don't know. Can you relate?
It's making me tired.
I know, but you know what? I'm excited because we have answers. We have things that we can do so that we can not have the stress, or if we have it, we have to recognize it and do something different, is what I just heard you say.
Right, right. And so it's not just about trying harder. It is about doing things that are healthy and helpful for us so that we can, in the long run, continue to serve God on a long-term basis. Mm-hmm. Now, when it talks about fixing your eyes on Jesus, that's about persevering for the long term. And I love this definition of perseverance, and I believe it was by Eugene Peterson, who was the author of The Message, the translation of the Bible. And he defined perseverance as a long obedience in the same direction. Mm-hmm. And I like that, because I want my life to be, and I know that doesn't mean it's going to be perfect, but it means I want to have that focus of going in the same direction, you know, toward God over time, mm-hmm. with that long obedience. And so, but in order to do that, I think we need to have those things in place that are going to keep us in a healthy, balanced frame of mind so that we don't burn out, because then we just give up. And so a couple of things to remember, I think, is to remember it's not about you, it's about God. Mm-hmm. This is his ministry, that we're serving him, not ourselves. We're seeking to build the kingdom of God, not our own little kingdom, because that's pointless. And then I think we need to have that support system. We need a strong support system that is going to encourage us and hold us accountable and also say no to us. If they think, Sue, you're doing too much, you need to cut back, you need to do less, say no to a few things. We need those kind of people in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologist Archibald Hart, great guy, he made the comment that we need to resist overloading our family system looking for solutions. And what he means by that is if our total support system consists of our mom or our spouse or our kids or the family dog, we need to expand that. You know, if what often happens, you hear this all the time with couples. It's like, well, I tell my wife everything and she's my support system. I don't have anybody else, just her. It's like, well, you're going to wear her out and you're not going to get objective opinions anyway. So you need to expand that. You need to talk to more than just your kid or just your mom, or just your spouse. You need friends, you need coaches, you need pastors, you need other mature people that can speak into your life. So we need to have that adequate support system. And if we don't have that, we need to get it. And then I think another good point is that we need to debrief daily. And so for me, it's talking to my staff on a daily basis. How are things going? How are you doing? How is it with that client? How are you feeling? In the same way, you'll do that in your business with your managers or your mm-hmm. or your main people,
mm-hmm.
Because we don't want to take this stuff home with us.
Right.
We certainly don't want to go to bed with it, and so we want to be able to debrief daily so we can kind of get that stuff out so we're not carrying that stuff around to internalize all that stuff. That's definitely a recipe for burnout if we're holding all that stuff in. We need to get that out on a daily basis, again with trusted people.
I think about pastors and I think about how, you know, like for me with my employees and things, sometimes I feel like I walk down the hall and everybody wants a piece of me,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just, and I'm required or expected to have solutions and make decisions on the spur of the moment a lot of the times. And, you know, it's important to get all the information before you make a decision, but sometimes we need to make quick ones. And I think about pastors and people in ministry and I think about, you know, everybody looks up to pastors and ministers because they're put into a leadership position and they're looked at as having the answers or where to go to find the solution or the help that they need. And that's just, it's very wearing. And, you know, sometimes you can feel inadequate or you feel like you don't have all the answers and you're burdened because you're a human being who has a heart,
mm-hmm.
and you're burdened by the pain or suffering of another person. You don't have the answers, but you want to walk alongside, but you can only walk so far and for so long before you get worn out. And I look at pastors and ministers and, you know, where do they go? You know, where do they go to get the support structure they need? And it's so important that they have somewhere to go to get
mm-hmm.
the support. Just like you're saying that everyone needs, we need a...
Right.
How many people do you think in your close group of support structure, how many do you think is healthy? If you were going to say, okay, on the average, the person should have not just their spouse, not just their child, mm-hmm. not just their teacher, not just their doctor, but they need to have how many people around them to be a support structure in order for that person to get a healthy perspective on any given situation?
Well, honestly, I don't think you need more than 3 or 4.
Okay. But it shouldn't just be one person.
Shouldn't just be one.
Right.
And it shouldn't just be your best friends.
I mean,
it should be people that you have given them permission
uh-huh.
to say the hard things to you.
Uh-huh.
And so I have one or two guys that I can talk to
that will
tell me the truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I have and I have my spouse, and I have my staff that I can say some things. But I obviously don't go to a level
right.
as deep as I would with a friend.
Right.
And so we need to have that. And so it doesn't have to be
10. Or
10
15.
Or 100 or anything like that.
So 3 or 4 people mm-hmm, that mm-hmm. you can trust
mm-hmm.
and be real with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we should be real all the time, but sometimes we have to be protective.
Well, yeah, and there are levels.
Yeah, yeah there yeah. are levels. That's mm-hmm. very good. Mm-hmm. That's very healthy.
But I remember when I was on staff at a church and I needed someone to talk to.
Uh-huh.
I didn't feel like I could talk to other people on staff.
Right.
Or the senior pastor. And people within my ministry, because I was their leader, I couldn't talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
So fortunately, the denomination that I was a part of, they had a therapist who was assigned to pastors.
Wow, that's nice.
And that was his full-time job, was to just minister to pastors, focus on the family. They talk about the pastor to pastors, you know. And so we need that.
Yes.
Pastors need other pastors outside of their local church that they can talk to, as well as if they have a couple elders, you know, good friends within that church mm-hmm. that they can talk to. I think they need that as well. It doesn't have to all be exclusive to outside the church.
That's
but we need
really
those
good.
People.
Absolutely. Everyone needs
Absolutely. A
structure for help and guidance and accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in now and you want to hear the beginning of the show that you might have missed, then just remember this. Remember Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. If you go on there, you can look at 3 years of podcasts, and they're by date, by guest, and by subject matter. So help yourself, and please do, and sign up for the email list so that you can connect with me. I would love to hear from you. I love it when I get emails from people stating, you know, what's happening in their lives and how the show has helped them, or giving me advice or suggestions on how this show can be more help to you as an individual. I've had people call and say, you need to talk about friendship, or you need to talk about this or that, or whatever. What is it like to be a real friend? You know, just those type of things. And I thought, wow, you know, because it's very difficult to come up with subject matters all the time. I usually take life experiences and whatever's going on in my life, I kind of share with you, and that seems to work okay. But if you have something that you really, really, really would like to have talked about, maybe there's a resource or a specialist that I could have on that could give you the information or the advice or direction for what you'd need to do. So please do that, okay? I really would like that very much. So we're getting near the end here, David, and I'm bummed because I really like talking with you and I love what you have to say because it's encouraging, so encouraging. You're always such an encourager.
Thanks.
And, you know, watching you in your current ministry, which you've referred to as CPC, and if you don't know what that is, it's Community Pregnancy Center. We're dealing with those unborn children, those children that don't have a voice, and CPC helps mothers decide, you know, and give them options that maybe they wouldn't otherwise know about or have. And so it's a wonderful ministry, and if you want to get involved with that, please do. You can also go to Sue Free's, spelled like fries, one word, .com, and get that information too. Try to say that 3 times fast. That's all I'm saying. So in closing, David, what would you like to tell the people listening right now? What can they do? How can, you know, what else would you like to say?
I think the Bible is really clear when it talks about how He is our source. You know, as we mentioned, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who restores us. He renews us. He causes us to grow. He sanctifies us. And so it all goes back to our relationship with Jesus. You know, how are we spending time with Him each and every day? Because that is the well we need to draw from. That's where we get our strength. And there are certainly tools out there, you know, like to have healthy boundaries and things like that. And I think another great tool out there is the spiritual disciplines. When we think about Richard Foster, who wrote the book, The Spirit of the Disciplines, and Dallas Willard has written some great things about that. But the spiritual disciplines are a way of purposefully setting time aside to pause, to quiet our souls, to reflect, to meditate. And it really helps us to just kind of refocus, to reprioritize, you know, what's really important. And I think the disciplines can really help us with just taking care of our soul. And it helps us to go back into the work, back into the ministry, and to be refreshed and energized.
Is there a page that we can get and put on the website mm-hmm. regarding spiritual disciplines? Could we just add that to the helping hand? So if somebody would like to get that, I'd love to give something mm-hmm. to the listeners.
I have 3 things I can give you.
Okay.
One of them is a description of the spiritual disciplines.
Okay.
A second is an exercise, which I just call an exercise to quiet our busy souls.
Okay.
And it's an exercise that comes from the spiritual disciplines. And then also I have a page of scriptures for reflection, just several Bible verses.
Okay, give us a couple of those scriptures right now. Just read some of those scriptures, because people always say, I love it when you have scriptures, because sometimes people don't take the time, and maybe this is their time. So what would some of those scriptures be?
Here's one that I really love. It's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. And it's a benediction. And it says, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word.
Love that. Love that.
Because he is the source. He is the one who gives us the encouragement and the grace that we need so that we can not just sit there and feel all encouraged, but so that we can go out and perform the good deeds, the good works that he's called us to do. Again, not for his approval, not to get him to love us more, but simply as a reflection of our love for him.
And he first loved us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, which is wonderful. You have so much to share. I mean, we could do 10 hours of show with you because he's so amazing.
I don't know about that.
Well, I do.
Let me read this verse.
Okay.
We often call this the invitation passage of the Bible.
Okay.
And it's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And so this is Jesus' invitation to us. And I'm going to read it first in the New International Version and then also in the Message because I love them both. In the NIV, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But then in the Message, it says it this way. "Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." I love that. I love that unforced rhythms of grace. That's what I want my life to be. I don't want it to be frenzied and hurried and so busy rushing from one appointment to the next, but I want to be in alignment with God so that I can experience his unformed rhythms of grace. Because then I'm more in tune to what he wants me to do, whether it's to stop and pause and spend time with this person, minister to someone, maybe it's my staff person, maybe it's a client, maybe it's a homeless person, who knows? Maybe it's my family. But that unformed rhythms of grace allows me to keep moving forward, listening to God, responding to him. And I think at the end of the day, your life is so much more rewarding.
Absolutely. So breathe. You know, sometimes we have to remind ourselves to breathe. And sometimes we stay busy just to not feel. So if you're one of those that's listening and you've kept yourself so busy because you don't want to feel, take the time. Be still and know that I am God. Just take the time to breathe. And, you know, he can heal you. So just let him have the chance to do that. Thank you, David, so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Until next week, God bless you and make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. Bye-bye.
God, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services.
Ah, springtime. It's a time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS. No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.